Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem. Shabbos daf Mem consists of essentially three topics that we're going to talk about. First of all, in yesterday's daf, we came to the maskana that it's aser to bathe on Shabbos even if the water was heated before Shabbos. So our Gemara on daf Mem is going to pick up that discussion and discuss whether any sort of washing can be done on Shabbos with preheated water, whether it's only an issue of bathing, maybe there are other types of washing that you can do with water that was heated before Shabbos, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of the historical development of the Isser to bathe on Shabbos and how it got progressively stricter over the course of time, and then at the very end Chazal gave it one kula because they saw that it had gotten too strict. And that's the first topic, all about bathing. Then the Gemara is going to discuss warming your body near a fire when you're wet, which you could see how that discussion comes out of the discussion of bathing. And then the Gemara is going to tell the stories that occurred in a bathhouse, and we learned several different halachos from stories that occurred in a bathhouse. So it all revolves around bathing. So we are on the fourth line on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Itmar Chamin Shuhuchmu Me'erev Shabbos. If you have water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, Rav Amar Lemacha Rochitz Ben Kol Gufo Ever Ever, that the following day you're allowed to wash your entire body one limb at a time. Shmuel Amar Lo Itir Lirchutz Elapan Av Yadav Raglav. Shmuel says no, you cannot wash your entire body one limb at a time. The only parts of your body that you're allowed to wash are your face, your hands, and your feet. So the Gemara is going to challenge Rav. Meisvei Chamin Shuhuchmu Me'erev Shabbos L'macha Rochitz Ben Panav Yadav Raglav Avalo Kol Gufo Tiyufta D'Rav. We say explicitly that if you have water heated from before Shabbos, on Shabbos you're allowed to wash your hands, your face, your hands, and your feet, and not your entire body. Isn't this a Tiyufta on Rav? Because Rav held you are allowed to wash your entire body as long as you do it one limb at a time. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a Tiyufta on Rav. Amalucha Rav Lo Kol Gufo Bebas Achas Ella Ever, ever. When it says that you're not allowed to wash your entire body, it just means you're not allowed to wash your entire body at one time. But what are you allowed to, what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to wash. Ever, ever. I've upon of Yadav Raglav Katani. No, but the Braisa said what you're allowed to do, and it didn't say you're allowed to wash your entire body ever ever. It said what you're allowed to do is to wash your face, your hands, and your feet. It makes it sound like no more than that. Answers the Gemara to defend Rav. Kain panav yadav raglav. Now, what it meant to say is that you're not allowed to wash your entire body at one time. Rather, you're allowed to wash your entire body the way you would wash panav yadav raglav, which is one at a time. So it's not panav yadav raglav is an example. It's a way of washing. It's not what you're allowed to wash. What are you allowed to wash according to Rav? Everything. It's just how do you wash it? You wash it the way you would wash, the same way you would wash panav yadav raglav. So that's first challenge of against Rav is rejected. Second kasha on Rav, Toshima lo itiru lirchotz becham and shuruch merav Shabbos ella panav yadav raglav. All we allow you to wash with water that was heated before Shabbos is your face, your hands, and your feet. So isn't this also against Rav? Because Rav says that we allow you to do more than panav yadav raglav. So answers the Gemara, same thing. Over here also, it doesn't mean that all you're allowed to bathe is panav yadav raglav. It means you're allowed to bathe all your body parts the way you would bathe panav yadav raglav, which is aver aver. What's the Gemara's hava meaning in even asking this question once we already saw this answer? It's so obviously the same answer that we had to the first question, to the first challenge against Rav. So perhaps the hava mina is that it's a much stronger lashon over here. Lo etiru lirchotz b'cham shukum erev Shabbos Ella, meaning in the first challenge we said Chamin Shuluch Me'erev Shabbos, we said you're allowed to wash Panav Yadav Raglav but not Kol Gufo. Over here Lo Itiru Ella, the only thing you're allowed to wash is, it sounds a little bit stronger that you're not going to be allowed to wash other parts of your body. So the Gemara says, now over here also you could say it means that the only way we allow you to wash is the way you would wash Panav Yadav Raglav, but it doesn't mean that those are the only body parts that one is permitted to wash. Says the Gemara now a third raya against Rav, except the way the Gemara formulates it is Tanya Kavase de Shmuel, which is interesting. The first two were Meisveis. They were Meisvei and Atashema. It was clearly a challenge against Rav. Now, this one we're saying is a Braisa that supports Shmuel. L'chora, any Braisa that supports Shmuel is a Kasha and Rav. And let's see what the Braisa says. Tanya Kavase de Shmuel. Chamin Shuhuchmu Me'erev Shabbos L'macha Rochitz Ben Panav Yadav Raglav Avalo Kol Gufo Ever Ever. And if anything, this is the strongest one against Rav, because this one says explicitly that you're you're only allowed to wash pranav yada v'raglav. You're not allowed to wash your entire body, even limb by limb. And certainly the same would be true with water heated on Yom Tov, that you would not be allowed to wash your entire body, even if you do it limb by limb. So that's a clear raya that Shmuel is correct, and against Rav, who held that you are allowed to wash limb by limb. Why don't we call this a Tanya, why do we refer to this as Tanya Kavasi to Shmuel and not a Tiyufta on Rav? So the Meloah Rome in the back of the Gemara asks this Kasha, Tema, Amailo Usve L'Rav Mehach Braisa Kedum Svinun Leila'el Me'idoch Braisa. Why isn't this a Tiyufta on Rav like all the other ones? Ve'efshar Dahach Braisa L'misni Be'Rav Chiyav Raboshia V'lo Misvinun Tiyufta Mina. Not every Braisa that goes against the Sheet of an Amora can we ask a Tiyufta from. Some Braisas are more reliable, other Braisas are less reliable. It could be that this Braisa is amongst the less reliable Braisas. It wasn't taught from the Beis Medrash of Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia, and therefore cannot be a Tiyufta on Rav, particularly since Rav Tanahu Palig, since Rav is someone who's capable and willing to argue on Tanaim every once in a while. So when you have a Braisa that's not from Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia, so Rav is not going to be terribly bothered by that Braisa. So at the end of the day, we had three rayas, what it seems like three rayas against Rav. The Gemara clearly said the first two are not rayas against Rav. Rav has a way to understand them. And the third one, the Gemara never even tried to explicitly say it's a raya against Rav so much as it's a raya for Shmuel. And the Meloah Rome explains because it's not such a reliable Braisa. Says the Gemara, Rabba Masin la lahashmaita d'Rav b'hai lishna. This is all, everything we've had until now was one understanding of Rav. Rabba actually had a different understanding of Rav. And that is that Chaman Shulch Merav Shabbos l'machar Amar Rav Rochetz ben kol gufo m'shayir ever echad. That Rav was even more lenient. Not only did he allow you to wash your entire body limb by limb, which would mean putting one limb in the water at a time, he allowed you to put your entire body in the water at one time, as long as you left one limb out of the water. So Rav actually held, you can bathe your entire body, just leave one limb out of the water as you're bathing. Esve kalhani tiyufta, tiyufta. And the Gemara goes through, even according to this more lenient version of Rav, we ask all the three tiyuftas that we asked before, except this time they're actually tiyuftas, because this time take the first two where we said that the way Rav will wiggle out of them is that when it says that you're only allowed to wash panav yad v'raglav, it means ke'ein panav yad v'raglav, that you're only allowed to wash one limb at a time. Well, according to this version of Rav holds you don't have to wash one limb at a time, you can wash the entire body all at once. So what does it mean panav yad v'raglav? So according to this version of Rav, the first two rayas we brought against Rav before are in fact very strong rayas, in addition to the third raya, which is a raya for Shmuel. So Amalei Rav Yosef LaAbaye, Rav Yosef said to Abaye, this second version of Rav, which we have now disproven, was authored by Rabba. So Rabba Mika Avid Kishmaite de Rav, what did Rabba himself do? Did he follow Rav's Shita? According to his version of Rav, there are all sorts of tiyuftas on Rav. Did Rabba himself follow Rav's Shita? So his version of Rav's Shita? Samlei lo yadana. So Abaye said, I don't know. I'm not sure if Rabba followed Rav's Shita. So Maiti Baile, what do you mean he doesn't know if he followed Rav's Shita? Pshita de lov, da'i tosav. He could not have followed Rav's Shita. There are tiyuftas on Rav's Shita. Rav's Shita's been rejected. So says Gemara, Dilma lo shmile. Maybe he didn't know about that. Maybe he never heard about the rejections. So v'ilo shmile vadei of it. And if he never heard about the rejections of Rav's Shita, then you could bet that Rabba held of Rav's Shitas, because Dam Rabbi kol mili demar avid karav bar mehani tlas. Everything Rabba did followed Rav Shitas, with only three exceptions, David Kishmuel, where even Rabba followed Shmuel. And that is Matilin mi Begad le Begad, and the issue of removing tzitzis from one Begad to another Begad. Madlikin mi Neliner, we already had this discussion in Bab Madlikin, to light from one candle to another candle. Va'alacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'greira, and the halacha like Rabbi Shimon on a davar sheinu miskaven, on dragging a bench. Those are the only places cases where Rabbah held like Shmuel. Otherwise, Rabbah always held like Rav. So it's obvious that if he didn't hear that Rav was rejected, of course he held like Rav. So what kind of question are you asking? Did Rabbah hold like Rav or not? So says Gemara, no, maybe from the rule that Rabbah always followed Rav, we cannot derive what he did over here, because kechumre de Rav avid, kekule de Rav lo avid. This rule that Rabbah always followed Rav, except for three places, means that Rabbah always followed all the chumras of Rav. We do not know that Rabbah always followed all the kulas of Rav. So that's what he was asking. If Rabbah did not know that Rav was rejected, would he have followed this shita of Rav, that you're allowed to bathe your entire body on Shabbos in water that was warm before Shabbos, as long as you leave one limb out? Would he follow even this shita? The Malo Rom, again, in the back of the Gemara, is a little bothered. Because what did the Gemara say? Did Rabbah follow Rav Shita? Well, he couldn't have, because there was a Tiyufta. Okay, but maybe he didn't hear about it. So if he didn't hear about it, why do I care if he followed it? Meaning, had he heard about it, obviously, he would not have followed it. Had he heard about the fact that there's a Tiyufta, he never would have followed Rav Shita. So why do we care whether he did in fact follow Rav Shita or didn't in fact follow Rav Shita, if at the end of the day he wouldn't have had he heard about the fact that there was a Tiyufta? So says the Malo Aroim, Kasha Dimkein, May Nafkamina de Rav Yosef Yavid Karav, Daaf Iavid Mishum de Lo Shmiel, Lemi Kamakam Anand Shmiel, and Lav didn't cover say. Even if Rav Yosef followed Rav, maybe that's only because he didn't hear about it, but had he heard about it, he wouldn't follow Rav, so we shouldn't follow Rav. So he says, no, maybe the words lo shmiele don't just mean he didn't hear about it. V'yeshlomar lo shmiele kolomar lo svirele. When he says that he never heard about Rav being rejected, maybe it means lo svirele. He didn't hold that the rejection of Rav was a valid rejection. Why? The Rav Tanahu Palig. Because what are you going to bring? Rejections of against Rav from a Braisa? Well, Rav is a Tana. Rav is allowed to argue on a Braisa. For certain situations, Rav treated himself like a Tana, and he took the liberty to argue with Tanaim. Obeprat l'fim ha'shakasavti d'hach Braisa l'misnia d'beir v'chiv Raboshia. And particularly, says the Malah Roim, if I'm correct about what I said earlier, that this Braisa that we use as the primary Tiyufta against Rav wasn't really a reliable Braisa in the first place. Rav would argue on reliable brises. He certainly would not have a problem arguing on less reliable brises. So that's how the Malah Rom says. That's why it matters whether, in fact, he followed Rav Shita or didn't follow Rav Shita. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to get into how the Gezerah against bathing on Shabbos, even when it didn't involve any cooking of water on Shabbos, how it developed over the course of time. So, Tan Rabbanan, Merchat Shapaku Nekava Meir of Shabbos, L'motzoy Shabbos Rochitz B'miyad. If you have a bathhouse that they closed up the holes on Erev Shabbos to retain the heat in the water, so the water was heated before Shabbos and they retained the heat in the water over the course of Shabbos, you could bathe in that water Motzai Shabbos right away. You don't have to wait B'kadei Shiyasa, the amount of time that it would normally take to heat up the water after Shabbos. If they closed up the holes on Erev Yontif, you can go in there for a shvitz. When it means you go in for mazia, means that you don't actually bathe in the waters, you just use the steam that's coming out of the waters to enjoy the shvitz, and then you can go and rinse off in the Beis Achitzon. You can rinse off in cold water outside in a different area of the bathhouse. Story happened in the bathhouse of Bnei Brak, where they closed up the holes in Erev Yontif L'machar, Nichnas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Rabbi Akiva v'Yizi'u bo, and then on Yontif Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva went in for a shvitz v'Yatzu v'Nishtatfu Beis HaChitzon, and they went and they rinsed off their bodies in cold water in the outer part of the Merchatz. Ela Shechamin Shalom Mechufin B'Nesarim, but the hot waters were covered with boards the entire time, so they didn't have to worry about the fact that it was warmed on Shabbos. Shabbat Adav L'fnei Chachamim, when this matter came to the Chachamim, that it's not even necessary to make sure that the hot waters were covered with boards the whole time. But once over Avera started happening, once there were a lot of over Avera, they started making things Asr. The Gemara is going to clarify what that means. Over Avera, what kinds of over Avera? What did they make Asr? What happened exactly? Bathhouses of large cities, you're allowed to go into those bathhouses, and you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry. People are going to think that you're being mazia, even though they ask ostered, they ostered even going for a shvitz. You're allowed to go just to tour the bathhouse, because apparently that was a common thing to do. So my over avera, what happened exactly? What were these over avera, and how did it change the rules? How was it a game changer when there were over avera? So the Gemara explains the following process, the following several steps. Originally, back in the old days, it was mutter to bathe in water, even in hot water on Shabbos, as long as the water was heated before Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, so you can't heat water on Shabbos. In our modern day plumbing situations, when we turn on the hot water in our homes on Shabbos, assuming we have hot water tanks that are working after the hurricane, when we turn on the hot water in our homes on Shabbos, hot water comes out of the tap, but that allows new cold water to come into the boiler and it cooks it up right away. So that's a problem. That's cooking. That's a problem of Bishul D'Oraisa. We're cooking water on Shabbos. But let's assume you shut off the intake. There's no cold water that comes into that water tank. Why can't I just take a shower in hot water that was heated before Shabbos? So originally, it used to be that was mutter, because it's not Bishul. What's the Isser? Hischilu abalanim lachim b'Shabbos, va'omrim mer of Shabbos huchamu. But then the problem is that the people who used to run the bathhouses used to heat up water on Shabbos. They were cooking on Shabbos in order to satisfy their customers that they're getting hot water. And they would tell the customers, don't worry, this water was heated before Shabbos. But it wasn't true. They were heating the water on Shabbos. They wanted to satisfy the customers. So in order to prevent that Chil Shabbos by the dishonest bathhouse people, the bathhouse attendants, Asra Sachamin, the Chazal said, you know what, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. I don't care if it was heated before Shabbos. We're going to make a gzeri, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. That gzeri, even nowadays, that we don't have balanim, that gzeri is still in place. Because Chazal make a gzeri, the Rambam writes in the second parak of Hilchos Mamrim, unless we have a bezin that's gadol, b'chachma b'minyan, from the bezin that made the gzeri, which we don't have anymore. We don't have a bezin that's greater both in numbers and in wisdom from the bezin that made the gzera, then even if the tam of the gzera no longer applies, we don't have bathhouse attendants anymore that are unscrupulous and that are dishonest, nevertheless the gzera is still going to apply, so we're not allowed to bathe in hot water even if it was heated before Shabbos. The big question is whether there's a gzera habalanim on Yontif. Would you say that the gzera habalanim would apply on Yontif? Because you're not allowed to heat up water midina de gemara, you're not allowed to heat up water to bathe on Yontif, because like we said yesterday, bathing on Yontif is not shavah l'kol nefesh. Bathing is not something that was considered to be a basic need that people did on a very consistent basis. But nowadays, bathing is shavah l'kol nefesh. It's something that people do all the time. So maybe it would seem, and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes this, and it seems clear in Halacha that even though the Debre Tzinner has a tshuva where he disagrees with this, but it would seem clear in the Halacha that bathing on Yontif, heating water on Yontif for the sake of bathing, would not involve an Isra D'Oraisa anymore, because it's Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. So when the very Isra D'Oraisa falls away, would you still say that there's an Isra D'Rabbanan of Gzeres HaBalanim? Think about it. The Gzeres HaBalanim was that we were not allowed to bathe in water heated before Yontif, lest or any hot water on Shabbos or Yontif, because the Balanim might actually heat up the water on Yontif. But now that the Din D'Oraisa has changed, and that you are allowed to use Mida Oraisa water that was cooked on Yontif, would the Gzeira that was meant to prevent the violation of that Issa D'Oraisa still be intact? So that's a major discussion in contemporary poskim. And how you answer that question is likely going to have a major impact on what you hold in regard to showering on Yontif in general, whether you're allowed to shower with hot water on Yontif. If you hold that the Gzeira is still there, even though the Issur D'Oraisa is not there anymore, so then Einachinami, you're still not going to be allowed to shower with hot water on Yontif. But if you hold that when the Issur D'Oraisa that it's coming to protect doesn't even apply, so then of course the Gzeira D'Rabbanan shouldn't apply, then you're likely to say that you would be permitted to shower on Yontif. We've discussed this at different times. Rav David Weiminger thought that the Gzeira doesn't apply, and he holds that you're allowed to shower with warm water on Yontif, because if there's no Issur D'Oraisa, there's no Gzeira Sabalanim either. Rav Shachter had a unique shita. He thought that based on Ramban, that the Gzeira still applies even though the Issur D'Oraisa doesn't apply, but the Gzeira is somewhat limited. The Gzeira was only that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, but lukewarm water, or enough water that's warm enough to take out the chill of the of the coldness of the water, that was never part of the gzera, because it's very logical. The balanim, why were they dishonest? Why didn't they just heat up the water before Shabbos? So the teretz is, they could have heated up the water before Shabbos, but it wouldn't have been as hot. Now, it wouldn't have been freezing cold, but it wouldn't have been as hot. So what's the gzera? Don't use hot water, because that you can't trust the balanim on. But maybe if it's if it's just not freezing cold, that maybe is not included in the gzera. Okay, the next step of the process is also sechamim v'yitiru es hazeah. They asked using hot water, but they were matir zeah. They allowed going for shvitz. People would still go into the bathhouse. They take a regular bath, and they would say, "Oh, I just went in for a shvitz. No big deal." So people were being dishonest about what they were doing. So over here, you see, it's a different kind of over avera. Previously, the over avera were the people who were running a business, and they wanted the bathhouse customers to be happy. Over here, it's on the individuals. That single individuals were going into the bath and they just couldn't help themselves. The yetzer hara was too great. They gave into the yetzer hara about not bathing properly, which is another taina that people have with showering on Yantiv. However you hold, you're allowed to shower on Yantiv. If you hold, you're allowed to shower. There are certain rules that you do have to follow. Certain rules about schita b'seyar and about using soap and maybe there's a concern that given the privacy of our showers, that people are going to not have the inner fortitude to stand up to such a yetzer hara. We see there's a historical precedent that people couldn't, that when it came to bathing, people just couldn't handle their yetzer haras. So they asked Zeya, and they were matir chamei tveria. They allowed bathing in naturally hot springs. And again, people would bathe in water that was heated by fire, and they said, "Oh, it was naturally hot springs that we went to." So they said, "Okay, you're not even allowed to bathe in chamei tveria anymore. Not even naturally hot springs. If you want to take a cold bath, go take a cold bath." But then they saw that that's not going to work out. People couldn't be omed with such a nisayon that they are only allowed to bathe in cold water. They couldn't. The tzibur wasn't able to be mekabel such a severe gzera. So they took a step back. So yitirulen chamei tveria. They went back and they undid that last gzera and they said, okay, hot springs, naturally hot springs, you're allowed to bathe in. V'zeya b'mekom omedes. But zeya, you're still not allowed to do. You still can't have zeya. So you see a clear reaction to ovrei avera. We have throughout history many gzeros that were made as a reaction to ovrei avera. The way the Ramad Siman Tafnun Gimel describes the halach of kitnius, the minug of kitnius, is also based on somewhat of an issue of over avera, that people are going to come to make things that they'll sneak in some flour, because if you can make things with kitnius that looks like flour, so it's an issue of over avera in Hilchus Mila. The Nadav Yehuda has a tshuva, where Nadav Yehuda was asked about if you have a baby, a mila, on Erev Pesach. The shaila was, if you have a mila shelo bezman, a baby couldn't have a mila on time, can you delay the mila till Erev Pesach so a bechor won't have to fast? So Nadav Yehuda says, I'm hereby making a gzera that no mila shelo bezman should ever occur on Erev Pesach, because I'm afraid that the real halacha is, even a mila shelo bezman, you have to do it as early as possible. You do it on the first possible day that you're able to do it. You don't wait from, you count 7 days from when the baby is healthy, and that's when you do it. You don't mess around with delaying a bris mila. So he was concerned that people are always going to delay their mila shelo bezmana, tar of Pesach. So for over avera, he made such a gezeira that you should never have a mila shelo bezmana on Erev Pesach. I remember at my nephew's bris, at Menachem's bris, Rabbi Kron was the moel. Rabbi Kron made a big announcement right before the bris. It was like on a Tuesday morning, a regular work morning, and he was born a little early, so it took a while till they were able to get to the bris. And he made a big announcement. He said, "I've done a lot of brisim that were not bezmana, and somehow they always fall on Sunday. They always come when it's a convenient day." So it's a great credit to this family that it's on a Tuesday morning. It's not convenient for anybody, you know, but they do what the halacha says. So that's so we do have a variety of gzeros that were made at later times. The many gzeros Chassam Sofer about Beis HaKnesses that he made because of his concern about reformers. So for over avera, the reaction to over avera is something that we do have. So says the Gemara further now. We are on the last line. Amar Rava, Hayman da Avra Drabanan, Shari Lemikrele Avarina. What you see from this story over here is we call them over Avera. Why? What were they doing? They're doing Zaya. Zaya is not Asumida Raisa. So you see that someone who violates an Issa Drabanan, you're allowed to call them an Avarian. That it's permissible to call someone who violates an Issa Drabanan an Avarian. Who's the one that says that you're allowed to do this? It's Rava. Says the Maritzchia is always sensitive to the author, to who the author is of different statements, that it's the same Rava in Yevamos Taf Kof Amar Aleph, who says that anyone who's not Mekayim Divrei Chachamim, not only is he Kadosh Hudulo Mikri, Rasha Nami Mikri, he's called a Mikri, he's called a Rasha rather. We call him a Rasha, not just that he's not a Kadosh. And it's the same Rava in Nida Yud Beis Amar Aleph, V'sheinu Mekayim Divrei Chacham Tsenua Hudulo Mikri, HaRasha Lo Mikri, HaMikri Rasha. Rava holds that someone who's not Mekayim Divrei Chacham is called a Rasha. Same Rava in Erevin Daf Kuf Aleph, Darash Rava, he's Zahir B'divrei Sofrim, Yoser M'divrei Torah. You have to treat the Dinim D'Rabbanan more seriously than you treat the Dinim D'Araisa. So Rava was the one who was always telling us how important it is to follow the Dinim D'Rabbanan. However, asks Maritzchis, it is a little unusual, the Rambam doesn't quote this Din. It is a Din, Rava saying, that you're allowed to call someone who violates Dinim D'Rabbanan an Avarian. Why doesn't the Rambam quote this Din? So it may have something to do with the fact that the Ramban in Shorish Aleph of Sefer HaMitzvos brings a raya from this Gemara that every Issur D'Rabbanan is not included in Lo Sasur, in the Issur D'Araisa of Lo Sasur. This is Machlokas Rambam Ramban. The Rambam holds every Issur D'Rabbanan is automatically included in Lo Sasur. The Ramban says it's not. So the Ramban says the raya that it's not is, because if it were included in Lo Sasur, if someone would violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, he would be in violation of an Issa D'Araisa. I wouldn't need a Maimer of Rava that I'm allowed to call him an Avarian. Of course he's an Avarian. He's violating Yisurim D'Araisa every time he does an Issa D'Rabbanan. So says the Ramban, what you see from this Gemara is that not every D'Rabbanan is really a D'Araisa. Maritzchia says along similar lines, maybe that's why the Rambam doesn't quote this Din. This Din is quoted by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Ramah in Choshen Mishpat and Simon Pei Zayin says that someone who violates an Issa D'Rabbanan, you're allowed to call him an Avarian, but the Rambam doesn't quote this Din. Maybe it relates to his attitude toward Lo Sasur. So says Mar Keman Ki Aitana, where do we find that you're allowed to call someone who violates Yisurim D'Rabbanan an Avarian? Our Tana, that we call it Hischilu over Avera, and even though all they were doing were Yisurim D'Rabbanan, they were bathing in water that was heated before Shabbos, or they were doing Zeya, those are only Yisurim D'Rabbanan, period. We had then said that if you have bathhouses of large cities, you're allowed to hang out in them and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry that people are going to think you're being mazia. That's only bathhouses of large cities, but bathhouses of villages you're not allowed to go into. Since they're very small, there's a lot of hevel there, there's a lot of steam, and you're going to be mazia there whether you like it or not. You're going to sense the zeya that's coming in those bathhouses. Period. That's the end of the story of the historical development of the Isser to bathe on Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan. Now we move on to a related bathhouse type of topic, but not about bathing on Shabbos per se. Mischamim adam kenegad amadura v'yotzei mishtati pitzonin. A person can heat himself up next to a fire and then go rinse himself off in cold water. But in the reverse, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to rinse yourself in cold water and then heat yourself by a fire. Because you're going to be warming the water that's on your body. And that's going to be the problem of warming the water on your body. Asks Tosfos, so what? Mafshir just means warming. That's not bishel. It's only also to be mevashel mayim that's on your body. So he says, Mefarish Riva didoma kerochet b'mayim chamin v'yavol lahachim chamin lirchutz gufo. Over here, the isser is not an isser of bishel. It's an isser of bathing. That when you warm water that's on your body, it's like you're bathing in warm water, and therefore Taptosa says it's we're concerned you're going to come to warm water for a bath. Tan Rabbanan, Mecham Adam Aluntis Umanicha al Bnei Me'ayim B'Shabbes Ubovat Shliyavi Kumkumos Shalmayim Chamin V'Yanichenu al Bnei Me'ayim B'Shabbes. A person can warm up a towel and put it on his stomach on Shabbos to warm himself, as long as he doesn't take a pitcher of hot water and put that on his stomach on Shabbos. V'Davar Zeh Afilu B'Chol Asur Mnei Asakana. To warm a pitcher of hot water and put it on your stomach on Shabbos, we would not and put it on your stomach is something we would not recommend on a weekday either, because that could be very dangerous. You could scald yourself, you could burn yourself. So it's not a great idea ever. It's Asr on Shabbos, but it's not a great idea ever. Why is it Asr to do on Shabbos? Says Rashi, Shami Yishbechu Alavanim Tzorochis B'Shabbos B'Chabim. Some of the water might spill out of the pitcher onto your body, and then it's going to be a violation of bathing in hot water on Shabbos. Tosel says, no, different concern. That what's the problem with bringing the pitcher of hot water and putting it on your stomach? Pirush calls mancha alunta sham. This is not saying a separate case from the case where you have a towel. It's saying you're allowed to take a warm towel, put it on your stomach. What you're not allowed to do is take a warm towel, put it on your stomach, and then on top of the towel, put a pitcher of hot water. Why? Because the water may pour out of the pitcher, hit the towel, and then it's going to be a gezeira mishum schita. It's going to be yasli de schita. We're afraid you're going to squeeze the water out of the towel. You're going to use it as a washcloth to bathe yourself. It's going to be a problem of schita. Inami lo yav mishum refua v'gazra to mishum shchik saman tfei mi ba'aluntas to lo mechzik refua kol kach. Or it could be that a warm towel on your stomach, that's not so much of a refua. But once you're using hot water on top of it, then it already looks more like a refua, and it's a gzera mishum shchikas saman, and it's part of the same gzera of refua in general, that a person is not supposed to do things that have therapeutic value on Shabbos, lest he come to grind up different herbs to make medication. Tan Rabbanan, maybe Adam Kiton Mayim Manicho Kenegra Madura, Lo Bishvil Sheyechum, Lo Bishvil Shetafik Tzinasan. You're allowed to take a pitcher of water, put it next to a fire, near a fire, not to heat it up, but just to take out the chill of the water. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevia Isha Pachshel Shemin Manicho Kenegra Madura, Lo Bishvil Sheyivash, Lo Bishvil Sheyivshar. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only water, oil. You could take a pitcher of oil and put it near a fire, not to cook it, just to keep it lukewarm. Rav Shimon Leal Omer Isha Sachi Yad Hashemin Umicham Masa Keneged Amadura V'Sach Lebna Katan Ve'Ena Choshesheshes. That a woman could anoint her body in oil or put oil all over her child and go next to a fire. She doesn't have to worry about the effect that the fire is having on the oil that's on the body. So Yibayiluhu Shemin Mahu LeTanakama. So the Tanakama didn't say anything about oil. Tanakama said that you can take a pitcher of water and put it near fire so that it gets to the point where the chill is taken out of the water. And then Rabbi Yehuda said about shemen, started telling us that shemen, you don't have to worry, you could also put it near a fire as long as you're not cooking it. What does the Tanakama hold about shemen? So the Gemara says two possibilities. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Darmi Travayu Letera. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say that whatever Rabbi Yehuda asers by shemen, the Tanakama allows. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to be mevashal shemen. Tanakama even allows that. Tanakama only doesn't allow being mevashal water. That's why the Tanakama specifically spoke about water. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar li Isura. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says no. The Tanakama holds that it's usur to put shemen near a fire, even to cool off. That he's more machmir than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was coming to say a kula, that even shemen you're allowed to put near a fire just to warm up the shemen as long as you're not cooking it. Tanakama would hold you're not even allowed to warm up the shemen. Forget about cooking it. You're not even allowed to warm it up near a fire. Only water you're allowed to warm up as long as you're not cooking it. So Rabbi Rav Yosef Zalman Travay LeTera, how do Rabbi and Rav Yosef understand the machlokas shemen afal pi shayatzalad is bo mutter? Rabbi and Rav Yosef understand Tanakama would hold that even if you're heating up shemen to yatzel ledes, you're really cooking it, that's going to be mutter. Tanakama holds there's no isra of bishul and shemen. Then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, there is an issue of bishul when it comes to shemen, but just warming it up a little bit is not called bishul, it's just warming. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if you have shemen on your body, you got to be careful, you can't go too close to a fire, because shemen, even if you just warm up shemen, that is considered bishul. Sorry, that if you put it on your body, that's fine, but if you put it in a pitcher anywhere near a fire, even if it's just to warm up a little bit, that is a problem, because there is an issue of bishul by shemen, and that issue, that isser is violated even by warming it a little bit. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar li Isur. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak understands the three-way machlok in a different direction, where the Tanakama is actually more machmir. Shemen afal bi she'ena yatzel ledes bo, aser. Tanakama holds, even when it's not yatzel ledes, even if you're just warming the shemen a little bit, that's aser. Why? Chasavar Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul Vev Sheiro Zeu Bishulo. Tanakama holds Shemen is subject to Bishul, and even slightly warming it, that's called Bishul. Vas Rabbi Yehuda Lemeimer, and Rabbi Yehuda comes along and tells us, Hev Sheiro Lo Zehu Bishulo, that warming it is not called Bishul. Vas Rabbi Shum Amil Lemeimer, Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul Vev Sheiro Zeu Bishulo. And Rabbi Shum Amil says, no, it is called Bishul. Warming it, there is a problem with Bishul Shemen, and it is called Bishul. So the way Rav Nachman Yitzchak understands it at the end of the day is that everyone agrees, all three Tanaim agree, that there is an Isra of Bishul on Shemen. The question is that Isra violated when you just warm it? First and third Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel hold, yes, it is violated, the Isra is violated when you just warm it, and Rav Yehuda holds, no, the Isra is not violated when you just warm it. So the obvious kasha is Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama. Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel are saying the same thing. Shemen is subject to Bishul, and that Isra is violated even when you're just warming it. So it says, Mari Kibinayu Kila Achrayad. Nafkamina between Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel is what if you warm it, Kila Achrayad, if you use a Shinoi. According to the Tanakhama, even with the Shinoi, it's Aser. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Shinoi, it's Mutter. Where do we see that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that with the Shinoi, it's Mutter? Because what did he say? You're allowed to put Shemen on your body and put your body near the fire. You're warming the oil. So apparently, yeah, but you're doing it with the Shinoi. Tanakhama wouldn't even permit that. As a matter of halacha, both oil and water are subject to the Isra of Bishul, and its Bishul is only violated when it gets to Yad Soledis, but not when it just takes the chill out. How hot is Yad Soledis Bo? Anything that's hot enough to scald the stomach of a baby is going to be considered Yad Soledis. The Ritva writes that why don't we just say Yad Soledis? How is the shear of Kol Shekreisel Shaltinok Nichves more muvan to us than more understandable to us than the shear of Yad Soledis? Why don't I just put my hand under the water and see that I have to withdraw my hand? And the answer is, if you've ever been together with your wife in the kitchen, she could handle putting her hand, at least most wives can handle putting their hand under something much hotter than men can. For whatever reason, they're much more used to it. They could, different people have different levels of tolerance for hot water. So says the Ritva, if we were to just leave it to Yad Soledis, no one would ever be able to figure out what exactly the temperature is. But all babies, pretty much, you can burn their stomachs at about the same temperature. I don't think he recommends testing it, but it's basically the same temperature, so it's a more understandable shita. Amar Rav Zubar Avdimi, Pam Achas Nichnasti Acha Rebbe LeBeis HaMerchatz. So the Gemara is going to conclude with two stories. So one time I followed Rebbe into the Beis HaMerchatz, and the first story we're going to learn five separate halachos out of the story. Ubikashi laniach lo pach shel shemen bambati. I wanted to warm up a jug of oil, so I wanted to put it into the bath, in the bathhouse. Va'amrli told the klisheni v'tein, and he told me, no, take it in a klisheni and put it in. Don't put it directly into the bath. So he said, wow, I learned a whole lot of halachos. Shema mina talas. I learned three halachos, then the Gemara is going to add another two that we learned from this story. First thing I learned, he says, Shema mina shemen yesh bo mishum bishul. I learned that shemen is subject to bishul, that's why he didn't let me put the oil into the bath directly. Second thing, Shema mina klisheni enu mevashel. I learned that once the hot water is in a klisheni, it's not going to have the ability to be mevashel the shemen anymore. So I see that a klisheni can't be mevashel. That's why he told me to put it in a klisheni first, and then I could warm up the oil. Asks Tosos, the very, very important Tosos, very important Kasha, what do you mean, klisheni enu mevashel? The water's boiling hot. How could you say that if you have boiling hot water, it's steaming, it's very, very, that it's not able to be mevashel anymore just because it's not in the kli that it was originally cooked? Sometimes you have water that's in a kli rishon that's still hot, but the water in a klisheni is even hotter than the water in a kli rishon sometimes. You can have water in a klisheni that's hotter than water. So why is it in a kli rishon it's able to be mevashel? Klisheni is not able to be mevashel. Says Tosfos, it's a matter of direction. The intensity of the heat is determined by what direction the heat is going in. When you put something in a klisheni, the cool walls of the klisheni have the temperature declining rapidly. So even though right now it's still hot, the ability to cook is not only determined by the current temperature, but the general direction of the temperature as well. And since the temperature is declining rapidly, it's not able to be mevashel anymore, even if it's very hot in a klisheni. But in a kli rishon, it would still be able to be mevashel. That's Tosos over here. Ushramina, third thing he said, I learned to say, Shero Zeu bishulam, that even if it's just cooled a little bit, that's called bishul. So hechi avid hachi, how is he able to do this? Meaning, how is the Rebbe able to paskin anything for him? He was in a Beis HaMerchatz. I thought you're not allowed to think in Divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchatz. So how is he able to derive all these three halachas and give a psak halacha from which you could derive all these three halachas in a Beis HaMerchatz? Maybe you'll say, no, he spoke to him in English, so that's okay, it wasn't real Torah. No, you could speak Hebrew, there's no problem speaking Hebrew in a Beis HaMerchatz if you're speaking about Narishkeit. But if you're speaking in Dvarim Shel Kedusha, even B'lashon Chol you're not allowed to say. So what's the Havamina? It's so difficult to have a Frushim Yisur Hashayni. The Gemara says, no, over here he was just giving him a psak because he wanted him to prevent him from doing an Isser. To prevent someone from doing an Isser, you could say a psak even in a Beis HaMerchatz. Teda, the raya to that is, Domer Yudah, Amr Shmuel, Maisu B'talmid Shomer Shenich Nasach from Beis HaMerchatz, Ubikesh Ladiach Karka, Vamalo, in Madich, and he wanted to rinse off the ground to wash the floor, and he said, no, you don't do that. Losuch Lo Karka, Amr Lo Ein Sachin. So he kept on correcting him by things he wanted to do. Amle, Frushim Yisur Shaini. You see, you're allowed to stop someone from doing an Avera. Hakanam, Frushim Yisur Shaini. We'd say the same thing over here. Another two quick points. Amr Ravina, two more halachas we learned. Shramina, Vashal Bechamit Vari, Beshabbos Chayiv, the Maisel, the Rebbe, Lach, Gzeira, Ava, Varmale, Tolbu, Klisheni, Vitain. So you see that even cooking in Chamit Tveri is a problem, because this was after the Gzeira, so he must have been bathing in Chamit Tveri, and he still said you need a Klisheni. Aini, Vamra, Chisam, Vashal Bechamit Tveri, Beshabbos Potter, but didn't we learn Vashal Bechamit Tveri, Beshabbos is Potter? So my Chayiv Nami Dekam or Makas Mardus? No, when he said Chayiv, he only meant Makas Mardus. By the way, the Taz brings a riot from this Gemara. He says, Tolbu, Klisheni, Vitain. Why not just say, put it in scoop it out, and then put it in the scooper. So he says, you see that if you were to scoop it out, that would make the ladle a kli rishon. That in order for it to be a kli sheni, tol the kli sheni means scoop it out, pour it into a second kli, and only then does it become a kli sheni. It's the raya of the Taz against the Magen Avraham. We'll pick up from there tomorrow.